want you to think about endurance, all right? Endurance. What is the hardest thing you've had to endure, or maybe the longest thing you've had to endure, all right? So just think about that, and let's pray. Jesus, you endured everything. You endured the worst humanity had to offer. You endured the worst our enemy could offer when everything was turned against you. You endured for us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for doing the thing none of us could ever do. And thank you for giving us all the blessings that come for that freely. Lord, help us to reflect on that in this moment as we hear from you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so endurance. All right, so as you're kind of continuing to gather your thoughts or recall, what is the hardest thing I had to do other than listening to one of Pastor Chris's messages? So I started doing Couch to 5K 2 weeks ago. Right? How many of you have done a Couch to 5K before? All right, a few of you, all right. Okay. And so I started it again, and I don't know how many times. I've lost track of the number of times I've started a Couch to 5K because that couch is real comfortable, right? But I started doing it again. I got through the first week just fine. I got 2 out of the 3 days done this week. And it rained. Friday was going to be my third day, and I didn't want to do it. But I added a nuance this time. I took our dog with us, and he doesn't have any kind of endurance for any of this. So it's good that we're starting at a slow pace that he can kind of build up his strength and his endurance for staying with me for a couple miles. And by the end, we're both pretty tired. We're both breathing kind of hard. But I think we're both feeling really good about just being able to accomplish something like this. So as you think about maybe the longest thing you had to endure, maybe share that with, if you have an idea of what that is, share that with somebody next to you or relatively close to you. Just take a minute and do that. What's the longest thing you had to endure or the most difficult thing you had to endure? All right. Does anybody feel like sharing an example, something they had to endure? Maybe just one. We have time for, I think, one or two things. Jay, yeah.
Endure 15 hours flight.
15 hour flights. That would do it. Which direction?
From Shanghai to Detroit.
Shanghai to Detroit. Yeah, that would be a long flight. A long flight. I don't care how many times you get up to stretch your legs, right? It's just, after a while, it's just, yeah, that's rough. That's rough. Well, we're glad you did it, though. Any other thoughts? Yes, Mitch. Driving to Florida. How many of you have done that drive before? Yeah, I have not. I fly to Florida. but yeah, that drive to Florida, that's a very, very, almost like a 15-hour flight, but that's rough. So, but you endured, you made it, you lived to tell the tale, right? And the same thing is happening with the disciples that Jesus is sending, right? In our message last week, if you didn't hear it last week, you weren't here last week, or today's your first time, check it out. Our media tab, either on the website or the app. But we were talking about the same group of disciples in Matthew 10, right? Jesus calls them the sent ones now, the apostles. And here we get a glimpse of something that God's word is referred to for centuries, right? It says that the word of the Lord endures forever, or that God's love endures forever. We get a glimpse of the power and potency of what that means for these apostles and the towns Jesus is sending them to. And God's word endures forever. His love endures forever because they flow from him. They flow from the one that is enduring all things for all time, before all time, after all time. He is the one that endures all things. And from our reading today and from this thought about enduring to the end, I want us to focus on three thoughts, how we can endure and how God gives us that power to endure. It's faith from his presence, okay? His presence that brings us peace, and that we have peace because of his promise, right? Faith from his presence, how his presence brings us peace, and that we have peace because of his promise, all right? So as we dig into this this first reading from the first part of the reading from Matthew 10, which we're focusing on faith from his presence. All right, so we get into Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Should be up here. One more slide. There we go. And if you're able to read this, let's read this together, okay? Let's start again. 1, 2, 3. So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. All right, so three different times throughout this section, Jesus is telling his disciples to have no fear, or be not afraid, or do not fear them, okay? So it's gonna match up to our 3 points of our outline. So he says, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. All right, so as Jesus is sending his disciples out, they don't know everything yet, right? And we've covered that a couple of times here in our midst before. And that's because these disciples, these apostles are human, right? They have their own ideas about who they think Jesus is and what that means. But Jesus is still present with them, right? Even despite they are not consumed with the Holy Spirit the way they will be after his resurrection, they don't believe in him, they don't understand things about him the way they will after his resurrection, Jesus still sends them out. If you remember last week, we talked about how Jesus still sends Judas out, even though he is going to betray him, even though they're all going to abandon him. Jesus still sends these guys out with his power. Why? Because their success, the success of their mission, doesn't depend on their own power. It depends on the power that Jesus is giving them, right? It depends on him being present with him. Even though he's not physically present with them, his word and his power go with them along the road, go with them into those different towns in which they're going to stop, to declare his message that the kingdom of heaven is near, to make known what he's doing. And he tells them to go and to heal the sick, cast out demons, heal lepers, and raise the dead. This is the mission Jesus gives these guys. And so as he's telling them that, all that we covered last week, he's also kind of getting into some cringy territory, right? And he kind of sums it all up, verses 21 to 25, in these words, right? That section where he talks about how brother is going to betray brother, father is going to betray son, children will betray their parents, right? This is not Jesus talking about like the end of time. This is Jesus talking about the tour he's sending his disciples on through the villages they're going to go through in Israel. This is just in Israel, just over their short-term mission trip, right? So instead of going to Mexico or Colombia or somewhere else or Africa, they go to the communities in Israel. It'd be like us going to Dexter, right? Or something like that. And what that message is going to bring about is this reaction from people. People who are opposed to the gospel, people who are opposed to God and his work in their midst. And that's why brother betrays brother. That's why families turn in on themselves. And that's why there is good reason to fear. So Jesus, in preparing them for what's going to happen, he's acknowledging, yeah, you guys are going to think about caving. You're going to think about giving in to fear. And what Jesus says is, Don't do that, right? He points them to something else. He points them to his power, to his word. He points them to the kingdom, right? Himself. And now we don't know what happens specifically in each of these villages. We don't. We don't, to my knowledge anyway. I'm always willing to be proven wrong. But to my knowledge, we don't know the particular stories of the apostles in these villages. But what we do know from Luke, another gospel writer, he writes that when they returned from this short-term mission, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven," meaning he saw our spiritual enemy and sin and death, all of it being defeated in his power, in his name. The disciples were successful because not because they went, not because they were obedient, although they were, but they had success because of Jesus' power at work in them. His presence pushes out our paranoia. His presence pushes out our paranoia, right? His presence brings us peace. And that's what we get into, that's what we see in verse 28, our second do not fear statement from Jesus. Right? Jesus' presence brings peace. So, verse 28. If we can have that on screen, please. So let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And thank goodness this isn't the last verse in our reading for today. Because this is one of these cringy statements from Jesus. If he's trying to make the disciples feel better, if he's trying to encourage them and build them up, if he's trying to rally them, this rhetoric is not something I would recommend using for us, right? Again, we're not Jesus. And I debated about including it in the reading and the sermon in particular, just because it's a difficult verse to hear. I mean, on the one hand, it's good. Like, we should not be afraid of people who can only harm our bodies, right? I harm my body every day, especially when I get too close to our cat, right? I've got scars on my hands to prove it. And so we don't need to fear the ones that can bring us harm, but rather fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell? That's pretty rough, Jesus. What are you getting at? And Matthew, if you're retelling the story of Jesus, why would you include Jesus' words here? Why don't you filter that a little bit? Because Jesus is being very, very real with his apostles about what they're going to face. And he wants to remind them what the kingdom is. And a bit, not entirely, but a bit of what it saves them from. It saves them from the wrath of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, that is not why the disciples are going, right? That is not why Jesus is sending them. But it is something that can shake us out of our fear, that can remind us of who really has the power and the authority in this world, because there are lots of other powers and lots of other authorities that would love for you to believe that they are the end-all be-all. But God tells us a different story. He paints us a different picture. He reveals powers and authorities for what they are, right? Nothing is hidden that won't be revealed. And he reveals the power of God. And how does this bring us peace? Matthew is saying here that going to all these places among all these people with this kind of hardship and this kind of resistance to you and to the message you're bearing, it's going to be easy to give into fear, to cave to pressure, to renounce this faith, this truth, this love God has made known to you. And so even as you display all this power from God, and you're tempted, like Elijah was tempted, to cave to the power of the ones in authority at that time, don't. There is one who is more faithful. There is one who is more powerful. There is one who endures for you. Remember, and Jesus is saying this to the disciples, all this happened to me. Brothers betraying Jesus, people calling him Beelzebul, and that is only by the power of Beelzebul, only by the power of the devil that he's casting out devils, right? This is what started out Matthew chapter 9 and 10. Jesus is saying, if they call me these names, if they treat me this way, don't expect them to treat you any different, right? It's going to be hard, and I want you to be ready for it. But I also want you to remember that there is one who is more powerful. Remember that all this happened to me. Remember that you've seen all this happen to me. You saw it. Believe. There is always something greater than fear. My peace. And it's that peace of God that we have because of his promises. We have God's peace because we have his promises. So let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. Let's read this together, 30 and 31. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Now, I don't know how many of you know the book of Matthew very well at all. Some of you might. Some of you may have no idea what Matthew's talking about, and that's okay. But earlier, just actually not that long ago, just maybe four chapters earlier, in chapter 6, maybe chapter 7, Matthew has Jesus giving his Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about, you've heard it said, but I say to you. And in that list of like all these things, you've heard it this way, but I'm telling you it's actually this way. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear or where you will live. Or don't worry about any of these things. Because God takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of the flowers of the field that are here today and tomorrow are thrown into the fire. He numbers, he's counted the hairs on your head. He knows who you are. He is with you. And your life, as much value as God places on sparrows, enough to care for them and number their days, he places even more value on you. You are valued by the God of heaven and earth. You are valued by the God of power and might. And what Matthew is saying here is that apart from Jesus, God is terrifying. God without Jesus is terrifying, right? There's no grace, only judgment. But with Jesus is more things than we could possibly imagine. With him, there is grace that does not end. With him, there is power that does not end. With him, there is life and faith and peace and hope and love that endures the worst that you apostles are going to experience as you go from here. With Jesus, we endure. God creates faith in you. And that faith forces out fear. And so it's his presence, it's his peace, it's his promises that help us endure, that force out fear. That's the antidote to fear. And because he endures, you endure. And this has been nice to talk about, right, in Matthew chapter 10. But what does that look like for the picnic later today? Or your ride home from here today? Or tomorrow? Or this week? Here's what it looked like for me a couple weeks ago. I was doing some work in the downtown area. I met a guy and shared with him that we were planting a new church. And he said, it better be a church that includes everyone, right? And I didn't know quite how to answer that, right? Because I didn't want to be dishonest about who we are and what we believe about sin and about God's love and who he calls us to be. And so I said, well, one thing we do want to do as a church is just is create common ground, even with people that disagree with us, and find some things we can do together to love this city. He's like, I can respect that. And I was sharing this story with another person whose child came out to her. And as a mom, she was struggling with it. And so I shared with her that interaction, and she understood where I was coming from, some of her own similar struggles herself, and loving and caring for her own kid. But she said, but this is who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who died for the sins of the world. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but rather through him to save it. And that is the message God gave his apostles in Matthew chapter 10, to take to all those different villages, Israelite villages, villages of the lost sheep of Israel, who should know God but don't. That's the ones they were going to. God is sending you and me not to Israel, but to Ann Arbor, or to your particular neighborhood, or to your particular job, a job where you actually have probably been doing witnessing at that place longer than I have. But that is the call. And some days it's going to be hard, and it's going to be easier to stay quiet, or we're going to get confused, or not just have some uncertainty about what to say. But in those moments, remember the presence of God, who is with you in those moments. That, and through that presence, he brings you peace. And through that peace, he reminds you of the power of his promises. His promises to you are always yes. He will always be with you. He will always forgive. And he will always send you to love those that need to know him most. In his name, amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for your word that reminds us of who you are. Help us to remember who we are because of your presence, your peace, and your promises. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.